there's a plethora of reasons why you would arrive at the door of the sexual health center or arrive at the advice line of the sexual health center.
Yeah.
But once you have, I think the most important thing is that you're cared for at that point in time and that you find the service that you're looking for.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the HSE Talking Health and Wellbeing podcast. My name is Fergal Fox and today we're talking about sexual health and wellbeing. And our guest this week is Martin Davern, who's the Executive Director of the Sexual Health Centre. As always, if you'd like to get in touch with us about the podcast or join our mailing list, please send us an email at healthandwellbeing.communications@hse.ie. Martin, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me on.
Firstly, Martin, can you tell me how long your centre has been in existence?
So the Sexual Health Centre has been in existence since 1987. It was actually originally birthed as Cork AIDS Alliance in response to the HIV epidemic, along with our partners in Limerick, Galway and Dublin. And over the years, I suppose, the needs of the Cork community changed, and so too did the Sexual Health Centre. So the Sexual Health Centre was born and we broadened our remit and mission. So today, the Sexual Health Centre is there to respond to a growing and evolving Cork community. And it's looking at providing people with information, education, testing opportunities so that they can access their sexual health needs and access a positive sexual health life for themselves.
Yeah, so when I look at our own sexualwellbeing.ie website, we see a lot of those kind of new messages around free contraception and information for parents and things like that. And it seems like there's so much going on in the sexual health space. So how long have you been working specifically on sexual health yourself?
So I joined the Sexual Health Centre in 2017. I'd been with University College Cork up to that. And when the role of executive director opened up, I couldn't help myself but apply. My previous role had been broadly in the area of public health, and I had a focus on drug, alcohol and sexual health research. So the Sexual Health Centre was a perfect fit. It was a way for me to translate research into policy and practice and respond to the needs of people. Like, what services do people need in order to access their best lives, for them to develop their own capacity so that they could effectively signpost themselves or that they could find the service they were looking for? And the wonderful thing about NGOs and health services across this country is that we can respond to community needs. So we can use research and we can use people's voices and the changing areas of sexual health that they need support for to drive services and drive new pilot programs so that we can better answer what they're looking for.
Yeah, so it was very operational. Give you a big operational opportunity, I guess.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it was an absolute change of pace for me. I got from sitting behind a screen, looking at Excel files and writing papers and analysing data. And in some ways, that's kind of followed me. So I still have part of that in the Sexual Health Centre where I am now. You know, it's still all around analysing data and trying to find out what the Cork community are looking for. But instead of writing research papers, now I'm writing business cases to try and think of new services that people are looking for and make those a reality then for the Cork.
So what jumps out at you now when you look back on since 2017? Because it seems like it's rapidly changing to me, and I'm kind of sitting outside the area a little bit, but like or I see our program around sexual health and crisis pregnancy is a very, very busy program. The work on the sexual health strategy and the, you know, there's going to be another sexual health strategy hopefully this year. Like, it seems like an extremely busy space and there's a lot of innovation in it, and you're working in it now that number of years. So how's it been for you?
Yeah, it's been really good. I think one of the, you know, you mentioned an awful lot of programs there and the innovation within the space. And I think one of the lovely things about this area is the level of collaboration that happens across that space. And that an awful lot of that is down to the Sexual Health and Crisis Pregnancy Programme leading out on this area, an area that maybe is an intimate part of a person's life, but because of that, often requires advocates and voices and people to bring it into public domain in a more readily available way. So over the last couple of years, there's been heaps of innovation and change. There's, you know, we've seen new services come to the fore, like the free contraception service that you mentioned earlier on, or the fact that now you can log online and access and order an STI screening kit that will be delivered to your door and take ownership of your own sexual health and undertake your screen at home, post it back in your results. It's never been easier to take care of your sexual health, which is a fantastic space to be in.
It sounds like, though, just what you said there about trying to normalize or have people have voices and have a place to normalize conversations around sexual health and bring people comfortably into what has been a kind of a maybe stigmatized, discriminated, sensitive area. That's what you're doing in the Sexual Health Center as well.
Yeah, I think, come here, I'm not so naive to think I'm living in a bubble. You know, when you work in an organization called the Sexual Health Center, every day, it's your day is sexual health. So to me, it feels very normal to speak about sexual health, to respond to sexual health needs and think about our service in a way that can be more responsive or agile to the community that we're surrounded by. And then, you know, I'm very lucky to be surrounded by a very supportive family, friends. I've got great colleagues, and that's my life, but it's not everyone's life. And sexual health is a very stigmatized area. Often, even when we think of the topic, sexual health is actually a very positive thing. But when people hear it, they often go straight to the idea of sexually transmitted infections. But that's not really what sexual health is. Sexual health is more about, you know, it's an everyday aspect of who we all are as human. And everyone has a sexual health. Everyone listening to this call, this podcast, they have a sexual health as well. And sexual health can be anything from the relationships that you're in, accessing a positive sexual life, setting your boundaries, having clear communication, gaining access to intimacy, retaining good connections with people. And so sexual health isn't a medical term. It's an aspect of who we all are as humans. And that's one of the things I think that the Sexual Health Center and many others around the country are striving towards, to make sexual health part of the everyday agenda.
And okay, that's good. And so in terms of a day to day, then who is your target group in your area in Cork? Who do you think, is it young people like under 30, or who do you think you're reaching out to? Or is it very broad?
So one of the great things about the Sexual Health Center is that we have a very broad remit. One of the challenges about the Sexual Health Center is that we have a very broad remit. So we have a drop-in service that's open to everybody and an advice line that runs Monday through Friday. And we respond to anyone's queries in relation to any aspect of their sexual health and well-being.
When you look at that advice line, then what kind of queries are coming in on that? Like, what kind of people do you think you're successfully reaching and responding to?
Yeah, so we respond to about 10,000 phone calls a year, and it's a real mix of individuals. You know, it's people who are looking for some of our services. That might be our HIV counseling or support service. It could be our crisis pregnancy counseling program. It could be our LGBTI counseling service. It might be individuals seeking a rapid test. And then for some people, it might be individuals looking for advice on relationships, advice on contraception choices. It might be individuals who are looking for advice on screening. And so part of our role is to respond to individuals and give them a service with us, so schedule an appointment and bring them in. And the other major part of our work is to signpost effectively. It's really important that we know our remit in what we can offer, and then know what other people's remit is as well, so that we can ensure that maybe you've called the Sexual Health Center and you're looking for a service. That's a big step for a person to take. You know, often they've sat at home with the idea of ringing. Will they ring? Won't they ring? So you want to ensure that when they've made that step to make a phone call, that you can find the service for them, even if it's not a service that's specifically with us.
Yeah, no, that's crucial. I think there's a strong link there. You can confirm this yourself about your sexual health or mental health. When you're in that need, you know, as you said there, you're kind of characterizing somebody there just kind of, you know, considering outreaching into a service, and you have to be so sensitive and mindful that you need to take care of this person once they make that call.
Yeah. And I think a good bit of research has been done, not only in Ireland, but across the EU, on the levels of isolation or anxiety or disconnection that people can feel in relation to their sexual health. They can feel like it's something that they have to navigate alone. And I suppose that's driven really by stigma in relation to the topic of sexual health sometimes. You know, not many people will find themselves at the weekend sitting around with a bunch of friends talking about a wonderful service that they've received from the sexual health centre, or talking about their STI screening or things that have actually happened for them in relation to sexual health. So with that in mind, you then have to market yourself or communicate your message in a much more consistent manner to ensure that actually people do know that you're there, that the service is available. And so at a point in time, then when they need it or they need you, they'll at least know how to access your service and to find you.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point. Like, obviously, we're working in communications, doing these podcasts, but we, you know, when you consider that communications challenge you have, you're offering your service knowing that you just need to get into people's frame of reference. So when there is a need, you know, they have somewhere to go.
Yeah, and that they can find it at a point in time when they will need us. And lots of people are going to need us because of the breadth of what sexual health actually is. You know, it could be problematic sexual behavior. It might be education in relation to sexual health, or a resource around healthy relationships for different aspects of Irish society. Or it might be looking for a screen. There's a plethora of reasons why you would arrive at the door of the sexual health center or arrive at the advice line of the sexual health center.
Yeah.
But once you have, I think the most important thing is that you're cared for at that point in time and that you find the service that you're looking for.
We've had two podcasts previously on the area of sexual health. We had Moira Germain on talking about the resources that created for parents, making the big talk, many small talks in episode 9. And then we had Dr. Fiona Lyons and Aoife Cummins on about HIV in just before Christmas there in episode 34. And I think it's very important that we kind of integrate sexual health and maintain that conversation of supporting all the agencies like yourselves to have the conversations and recognize sexual health as an integral piece. When it comes to the people that are, you know, coming into your service, do you think that, you know, that conversation and the needs are changing rapidly now in recent years? Are we growing up in relation to sexual health in Ireland, or is some of us growing up? I feel like there's been, you know, some liberal changes in Ireland, but still, you know, we'd be codding ourselves to think that we're living in a liberal society in relation to sexual health specifically.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I said, I live in a bubble. So yeah. I think often lots
you're the wrong man to ask.
Yeah. Lots of us are at a point of privilege. You know what I mean? We can enable ourselves to access services, and we can maybe look up information and find resources that are reputable, and individuals can educate themselves. But access to kind of timely and quality healthcare, especially around your sexual health, is really a basic human right. But actually, challenges to inequities in those services do persist. And depending on your life circumstances, your background, the culture that you've come from, what you've grown up with, and what's been modeled for you, there's an awful lot of reasons and barriers that may be put in place that were far outside your control for a long period of time. And so nearly reprogramming that is a big step. And the two podcasts you mentioned go a long way to talking about those. You know, like Moira Germain's podcast on supporting young people and making sexual health part of the everyday narrative is a way of looking at a societal-led stigma in a way and trying to reprogram that from the very get-go. You know, we talk about sexual health in many ways, and boundary setting is one major way that we can talk about that. And boundary setting comes to you from the very get-go. It's not something you learn at the age of 30, 40, and you implement from then on. It's something that has to be with you across the life course. And then other parts are just, you know, like that HIV podcast was amazing. It was great to hear such advocacy on a platform and a space created for that. And as they mentioned on that podcast, the medication around HIV has improved so dramatically over the years that now if you are on effective treatment and you take your medication as prescribed, you cannot pass on HIV to anybody else. And that is amazing, but somehow the stigma living with HIV still persists. So when we think about, or when we talk about the challenges that might persist in the area of sexual health, there's still a lot has been done and major innovation has occurred, but there's still quite a road to go, I think, in creating sexual health as something that becomes part of the everyday narrative for the Irish population.
Yeah, that's well said. I had that experience myself there. Like, I did the podcast with Moira about talking to your children about relationships and sexual health, but I was faced the other day at the launch of the research about young people's use of pornography. Mm. I was dropping my son to his transition year work experience with his friend in the car. It was 8 o'clock in the morning and it was being covered on News Talk.
Yeah.
And I found myself turning up the radio and the lads wanted to turn off the radio. And I was like, what am I going to do here? I don't want to start the sexual health conversation about this. And one of the key messages was young men's high use of pornography. So it can be a very sensitive area with your children and as you said there, with everyone else as well.
Mm. I think that was really interesting report, because we, you know, as one of our programs within the Sexual Health Centre is a health promotion program with young people in non-formal education settings to provide them with education around all aspects of their sexual health and well-being. That's funded by the Department of Children, Equality, Disability, Integration and Youth via Cork ETB. But that program introduces pornography and talks about the different spaces that it creates and how it's not a form of reality, like they are actors. And we've never had a space in Ireland where we've thought about porn literacy. And Kate Dawson in the University of Galway has done a lot of work in this and is much more of an expert than myself. But although pornography might be the most searched item on the internet every day, we never really talk about its consumption and what you should know or what you need to know prior to accessing that. So like anything, if something is so prevalent, yet so taboo, then how can we ever really enable ourselves or others navigate it?
Yeah. But I suppose the programs like you mentioned there for the out-of-school sector and trying to have conversations with young people are critical then to acknowledge, first of all, and see, you know, that this, as you said there, this is a normal, and you know, the important messages around sexual health that we need to emphasize with the same groups, you know, around use of condoms and things like that, like some of the basic things that we think are out there maybe, but they're not all the time. You know, we have to keep pressing that button, don't we?
Yeah, and I think, you know, when it comes to even condom use and condom provision, like showing people how to effectively use a condom and what's required for that's a really important capacity building thing that we do all the time at the Sexual Health Centre with all of the groups that we support. So be young people, individuals from marginalised groups, you know, it's very important to provide them with the information so that they can actually effectively apply that then into their own lives. And we have a condom distribution service now that's a postal service across the country. And last year we distributed 80,000 condoms around the country.
Oh, yeah.
Via the National Condom Distribution Service. And just supplying people with that and making it very easy for them to access that service, and so the condoms can be posted to their door. They don't have to find themselves at a service in the middle of Cork City Centre or Dublin City Centre or Limerick or Galway, wherever it might be, makes, I suppose, making the healthier choice the easier choice.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think the free contraception scheme, you know, has been a game changer. You know, there's more information on that on sexualwellbeing.ie. But like you're saying there, Martin, having that postal element is, you know, democratizing things, just like the same way that you said around the you know, the STI home testing kits. Like, it's just making it easier and accessible and literally trying to take that stigma away. You don't have to come in red-faced into somebody, you know, to seek the basics.
Yeah. And it's just another aspect of who we all are as people. And there are items that we need to access. And I think particularly nearly since COVID and everything, we've all got into hybrid working, remote working. Our lives are probably more around our home base than they've ever been in the past. So we're probably more reticent to go out and for accessing services if it can be easier to access those services at home. And for many, like even if you're booking a restaurant or anything now, you book it online, you know. So if you can do all of those things online, it's just fantastic that you can now access all of these services online as well.
I wanted to ask you about some of the other services that you're doing, delivering down there in Cork. And I know our colleagues in HSE Social Inclusion and in the Drugs Task Force are also your funders, as well as our Sexual Health and Crisis Pregnancy Programme. Can you tell me a bit about that work?
Yeah, so Cork South Community Work Department within the Health Service Executive fund a large portion of our work. So we have been funded by them for many years, and they fund our core HIV services, so our HIV counselling service, our HIV support programme and our communications work that we do, as well as our policy work. So Eleanor Moore and Trina Healy are our community workers attached to our fund in that programme. We have a HIV counselling service for people living with and affected by HIV. It's a very busy service for the organisation, and we support over 600 contacts in relation to that service per year.
On an ongoing basis?
On an ongoing basis.
Oh, right.
So as has been said by others before me and by me now, the medication is fantastic, but the stigma in relation to HIV can be really challenging. And so for those people, we create a space where they can access counselling free of charge with a counsellor who's educated in relation to HIV and HIV transmission as well. So they don't have to go in and explain their story or educate a counsellor in relation to what living with HIV is like, because that person is an expert within their field as well. We also have a HIV support programme for people's practical needs. Sometimes people who are living with HIV have needs around housing, healthcare, dental, workplace relations. And it's not a counselling service they require. It's actually a kind of a practical support process that they're looking for. And so we offer that service on an ongoing basis as well.
What's that called again? What do you call that?
That's our HIV support programme.
Okay.
Yeah. We love a bit of interagency work down at the Sexual Health Centre. So we are involved in a number of policy platforms. I chair Cork Healthy Cities, the WHM.
I saw that you're involved in Healthy Cities. Yeah, that's one of our, obviously, through the Healthy Ireland lens, we have Healthy Cities and Healthy Towns.
Yeah, and it's great.
Going out and counties. Yeah, no, it's great. But Cork was one of the earlier adopters.
It was, and fair play to Denise Cahill, who's been leading out in that programme for a number of years within the HSE. It's a fantastic initiative, and it's great even for sexual health to find a voice within a really broad remit like the WHO Healthy Cities Initiative. We have developed Ireland's first sexual health network in Cork. So there's 14 agencies across Cork City and County and Kerry, all involved broadly in the area of sexual health. And that's everything from our statutory partners and HSE Public Health and HSE Health Promotion and Improvement, the HIV Clinic, the STI Clinic, the Youth Health Service, the Sexual Assault Treatment Unit, the Sexual Violence Centre, LINK, the Gay Projects, and then our Kerry partners and Cork.
You're calling them out there, and I'm thinking all these, they're all issues or topics that are aligned or you know, that coalesce under the banner sexual health. That's great. And what does your network do? Just like share information and keep people up to date with each other?
Yeah, so we kind of started off when I joined the Sexual Health Centre in 2017. I was like, oh God, great. There's all these people working in the area of sexual health. I must get to know them. And so then I went down about and met them all. And after a few conversations, we thought, wouldn't it be great if we had a network just to kind of start sharing information about our services so that everyone was up to date on any new services or any changes within service provision. And the network has kind of grown since. So thanks to some funding from Healthy Ireland via Cork City Council, we have been able to launch mysexualhealth.ie. And that's a one-stop portal for people in relation to all sexual health services that are available to them in the Cork and Kerry region. So they can log on there and find any service that they're looking for, or any service that's available, maybe might be a better way of putting it, within the region. And then We have a number of campaigns that we've run over the last couple of years. So we have a signposting campaign that we ran on bus shelters across Cork City a number of times. And that signposts people back to mysexualhealth.ie. So we get about 40,000 visits to that website every year. We have run social marketing campaigns, thanks to our partners in public health, who highlighted the data that was specific to Cork and Kerry. Because sometimes, I remember in college, one of my professors spoke about this theory of unrealistic optimism. You know, we never think it's going to happen to us. Whenever we hear data, it's always to do with somebody else, or the risk is somebody else's challenge. Whereas actually, by using the data that relates to Cork and Kerry on a social marketing campaign across billboards in the city, we spoke about the number of STI infections that were occurring within our city, the number of people who identified as LGBT within our city, the number of people who were victims of sexual violence within our city. And so if we're going to change behavior, sometimes you need to contextualize what.
Makes it less easy to other. You can't just say that's up in some other city. Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. When did you do that?
So that was done 2 years ago, and we're about to do it again this year, thanks to some more Healthy Ireland funding. So it's great to have that via Cork City Council. And then we ran a conference. We're very lucky. We got to run it just before COVID. So we had 200 guests at Cork City Council who hosted us for the event. And they ranged from professions like nurses, doctors, teachers, youth professionals, individuals with an interest in enhancing their education around sexual health and learning more about the agencies and what they had to offer. And we launched our first conference then, and we're going to run another conference this year in October, on October 2nd, in Cork City Council again. So we've been very lucky, and Cork is very lucky, with real backdrop of support for interagency working. And so, you know,
you're taking advantage of that. It's great that you're able to integrate sexual health as a, just another normal thing.
Yeah. And it's great that so many partners are so open to that as well. You know,
it's
fine for me to be sitting here and be like, oh, it's great, sexual health, you know, and everyone should be a part of it. But unless the partner agencies are open to including you, then the challenge persists. But actually, we've been very lucky in the fact that the partner agencies are not only open to including us, but are actually very supportive and try and get behind us in any way they can. So yeah, we've been really lucky with that. And it's been lovely to get to know all the other agencies and access training with them and think about the needs of the community and how what services we have, but also in a way what services we don't and what services we need to try and develop and implement for people that actually we're all getting calls about, but we can't respond to yet.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think you're right. The integration opportunities that gives you is just multiple, isn't it? You know, people accessing all these different services, been offered things they didn't even think about, you know, before they're there on offer by virtue of those interagency collaborations. Before we finish up, I just want to ask you, you know, like we kind of started the podcast conversation talking about, you know, what's happened in this space. Where do you think we need to go to in the next couple of years? You know, when you're in dreamland and you think, oh, like in 5 years, I'd love, you know, sexual health, not just your center, but, you know, the way that we treat the myriad of issues related to this. How would you like that conversation to be going in Ireland in a few years' time?
One of the really exciting services we've started over the last couple of years has been DASH, our mobile health unit across Cork and Kerry. And that's around drugs, alcohol and sexual health. And it's a collaboration, as you mentioned earlier, with Drug and Alcohol Services. So The van was originally funded by the HSE and Priscilla Lynch, who's head of service for primary care here, and now is supported by David Lane, Joe Kirby and Kate Gibney in Drug and Alcohol Services. And it's lovely to collaborate across statutory and non-statutory and respond to community need and remove the barrier of how do you access the service, where do you get to, and having to come into us. We just put our service into the back of a van and drive out to your local town, your local community, and bring that service to you. And last year, we were very lucky with the Department of Health opened a fund and launched an education and prevention program. And so we applied for bringing DASH into the nighttime economy. And so, you know, people, we're all
complex individuals, and we don't make a decision in a silo. You know, decisions are often taken with a plethora of reasons in mind.
And the risks are multiplied sometimes with that nighttime space, alcohol, substance misuse, sexual health.
Yeah, and they all go together, and they have for a long period of time. So what we're going to do in 2024 is bring our service into the nighttime economy and provide people with condoms and lube outside of a van in busy urban spaces at night, signpost people to services and signal what's available to people and respond to queries and needs at a point in time when they're out, they're socializing, where we can normalize the idea of drugs, alcohol and sexual health as part of the fabric of Irish society by parking a van that has it plastered across it in the middle of an urban setting, but also normalize the idea that's something that you have the right to access, you have the right information for, and that you can access condoms and lube for free at any point in time. So when I think about sexual health going into the future, I think in a way it's already started. You know, SH24 have done it, the Free Contraception Service, where there are condom postal service. And I think we need to start really keep our focus on reducing barriers and not expecting people to find services, going out and finding people that need those services.
Yeah, I saw some images of the bus. That's great, Martin. It's a great way to finish up there, actually, because you've kind of encapsulated it all there, that we're trying to make the access routes, and that's what we need to keep doing, make access, and just democratize the whole thing, isn't that it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a space where the sexual health should just be part of the everyday, but it should be out in public for you to see. And that's how we make it part of the everyday narrative.
Okay. Lucas, I want to thank you sincerely, Martin, for joining us today on the podcast, and wish you the best of luck in your service in the future.
Thanks.
And thanks to the listeners for tuning in to another episode of the HSE Talking Health and Wellbeing podcast.